Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
The title of this message is, Let's Talk About Us. Let's Talk About Us. It's an unusual title because I want to get your attention, because I want to talk about us and our relationships. The kingdom of heaven, which is really God's will, when he says, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. When we're born again, we enter the kingdom of heaven. When we, through faith in Jesus, we enter heaven's kingdom rule. But we also have a different way of life relationally than what we used to have. So everything about you in being a new creation means that you have a different dimension of relationships. And it's how the kingdom works. The kingdom does not work without relationships. You cannot be a believer without relationships with believers. It is not computing with God's mind. And so heaven and your success is dependent upon your relationships and upon us building together and understanding how God sees the church and you and how you fit into his plan to reach the world. So it is actually, God always speaks about throughout Scripture, you will be my people and I will be your God. He doesn't say, you will be my person. He says, you will be my people. Even in the Old Testament, God was looking for a people. And he is still calling out a people of his own. We are his people. We are his royal priesthood, his holy nation, set apart for God. And the cross, if we think about the cross, it's a simple illustration here. It is two-dimensional, because in the cross there is both the vertical beam and the horizontal beam. And the vertical beam is really what Jesus did in reconciling or bringing us back to God through his sacrifice for sin. So God and man can be joined or united through faith. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says that God, through Jesus, was reconciling the whole world to himself, not treating us as our sins deserve. So in other words, he was reconciling, bringing enemies, people who were outside and out of relationship with him, back to himself. And through the cross, the need has been met for every human being alive today to be put right with God. Everyone can come into relationship with God through personal faith in Jesus Christ. You can't come to know God without first believing in your heart that he died for your sins and that he rose again from the dead, and you say, I accept you and trust you as my Lord and Savior. So that is the one dimension of the cross. But in the other dimension, as Jesus stretched out his hands, the nails pierced his hands, his blood was shed, and essentially God was uniting people to himself in Christ. People are united, are made one in Christ Jesus. Ephesians says, you were once far off, but through the blood of Jesus you've been brought near. And he has made out of every tribe, every tongue, every language, every age, every marital status, every background, every intelligent, every kind of person. He has made us one. We are all one in Christ Jesus. He has made us one. We're united through our faith in Jesus Christ. So in Christ Jesus, it's the only powerful and the only true way that people can be united. Where he is in the center of us. A marriage works when Jesus is in the center of that couple and family. Listen up, those of you who are still wanting to get married. Marriage works when you put God first. Relationships work when you put him first. But it isn't just about him, it's about us. There are loads of people who go around saying, well, everything that matters about the Christian life means, do I have a fresh revelation of God? Now, we know that's important. Do I hear God? We also know that's important. It's about my own life and my own walk with God. And Jesus doesn't think like that. He thinks, yes, it's first about me, but it flows immediately into others. It's about us. In fact, Jesus made this statement in Matthew 16. I will build my church. I will build my church. Now, that's a promise. But it's also what God is doing in the earth today. Yes, he's going to build you. But within the mindset or the way of thinking of building us. What is God doing today? He's building his church. What is God going to do in every generation? Building his church. Now, the church are the called out ones. The church are the family of God. New creations in Christ Jesus. Not isolated, but a people. In fact, many times through the New Testament, the church is called the body of Christ. We are the body of Jesus here today. We are collectively the body of Jesus, which makes you very special. And it makes us very special. It makes us meeting together very special. And it makes our relationships very important. I will build my church. The church of Jesus Christ is the greatest place on earth for relationships. Tell somebody next to you that. Greatest place on earth for relationships. Now, some people don't actually consider that to be true. Some people live very differently to believing that. But Jesus is absolutely clear about his will on earth, is that he will have a body, which each one of us is a member. And we know that he is building his international church. In every nation today, God is building his church. All over the world, he is building the international or global church. But he always calls a local church into being. So in other words, you are called to belong in a local church body. It is the call of God on every born-again believer. Without exception. And it is to be the place of fulfillment. The place of destiny. And I think there is such an enemy against the mind of believers in today's world. Because there's so much pick and mix out there. And there isn't the revelation of true family in the body of Christ. The pick and mix means I can go where I want, when I want, with who I want. But the mentality that Jesus wants us to have, which is a renewed mind, is that I have been put with you And guys, you've been put with me to be a committed, faithful family, an expression of Jesus together towards one another and to the world. And there was a guy who came to Jesus in the New Testament, and he was a very intelligent, biblically based, Old Testament minded guy. He was a scribe. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "I've got a question for you, Rabbi. Which is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus doesn't say, "There's one." He said, "There's two." Isn't that interesting? Which is the greatest? I just want one. And Jesus says, "There are two. Love the first, love, the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, everything within you. Love him because he is absolutely devoted and passionate about you." In the Bible, you occasionally get a glimpse of his love when you read the scriptures in Hosea, the Old Testament, and of course the New Testament. Of course, the greatest expression of love is the cross, that God should die for us. But we see that God is a jealous God. It's one of the things that is spoken about of him in the scripture. He is jealous for your love. He wants your love. Yes. He doesn't just want you kind of, "I'll serve and I'll go to church." Not that you can go to church. We are church. But he wants your love. And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this: love him with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And the second is like it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus put it in John 15. Love one another as I have loved you. This is my command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a pick and mix. It's not a side dish. Have you ever been to a restaurant and said, "Well, I'll just have the main course, but I don't want the side dish"? Some people think that relationships in the church are a side issue, where Jesus says it's on the main plate. To be a Christian is relationship with God and relationship with his church. Not a side salad. Not a few olives occasionally, but as part of the main plate. The Christian life is about God and us, all in the same breath. That's why he is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In fact, this church is a conquering church. It actually advances against the enemy. But it's us together that brings that dimension of conquering and victory. Relationships bring success. Relationships bring success. Godly relationships bring success. I know he wasn't a believer, but it's a great example. Edmund Hillary, who climbed Everest for the first time, conquered Everest. He had a guide called Tenzing Norgay, I believe is his name. And they were coming up to the final kind of push to the summit. And Hillary hit a bad spot up ahead of him and fell. But they were connected by a rope. And because of that rope, Tenzing grabbed that rope and saved Edmund Hillary's life. It made the difference from failing and success. And it was a connection between two people. William Carey, he's called the father of missions. In the mid-1700s, he saw the need to go into the world. and to reach the lost. And the need, the harvest is crying out for us. But Jesus says, they will know me when you love one another. When you have this us mentality, we're going to be effective in winning the lost. So William Carey said to one of his friends in the church, and I need to tell you something. The friends you need are in the church. That's where the success comes. I'm preaching up good today. And some of you may be thinking, oh, I don't like this. It's the will of God. Get to like it and you'll be blessed. Because this is the path of blessing. I want to do you good this morning by giving you understanding of God's ways, which are higher than ours and sometimes require change. How many of you have changed in your attitude towards the church? How many of you are still changing? Great. Well, we're all in the same boat. But this is so important to understand that William Carey, he said to his friend in the church, he said, I see India without the gospel, so I must go. But he said, I will go if you hold the rope. In other words, I'll go if you're connected with me. I don't want to just go off on my own. I want that vital love, relationship, connection that means I've got backup. It means I've got prayer. It means I've got finances flowing down that rope to meet the need for the harvest field and for the call of God on my life. Every single believer has a divine call, which cannot happen without the body of Christ. Isolation is not the will of God. Just having your own family unit is not the will of God. God created natural family and spiritual family. In fact, in his mind, when he made man, he just thought one family who are united with me. But because of sin and the fall, not only our relationship with God got messed up, but our relationship with one another did too. But God is the restorer of relationships. He is the healer and he's the bringer together. And he knows that when we're together, we will succeed. And so God says, and we believe, because we preach the word, that every believer is to be connected with other believers in a real, healthy, good relationship. And it builds strength into our lives. There are amazing promises for those who understand this coming together in God's name as God's people. Jesus actually said, let's turn to Mark's gospel. In Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And verse 28. This was in the context of one guy saying, I don't want to follow Jesus. It's too costly. And yes, we know. If you're a real follower of Jesus Christ, you know it will cost you something. You'll have to give something up to follow him. Might even have to give up your whole life to follow him. But I'd rather go to heaven than not be a follower. And the kingdom of heaven isn't secured to those who don't actually follow it and just say, I am a Christian. And we'll be doing some preaching on that fairly soon. Because we need a radical church who understand that actually Jesus spoke a lot about why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say. So we really need to have a clear-cut understanding of what church is and what being a follower of Jesus means. But here, Peter says, you know, we've actually passed the test. We've left all to follow you. In verse 28, we've left everything, Jesus, to follow you. Jesus said, now this is a promise for those who leave all. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Say 100 times. Do you think that's a good promise? Do you want increase this year? Do you want to see this increase of this promise in reality? This is an amazing thing for your future. 100 times more. How many want this promise? Well, you're going to get fields and homes. And Jesus says, mums, husbands, wives, children, and much more. Brothers, sisters. Well, I only want the ones I've got. Don't be so selfish. Jesus has come to kind of crucify the flesh so that we can live a spiritual mindset. So he says, if you leave this, you're going to find 100 times more. I have to say, with the absolute integrity and reality of my life relationally currently, I thank God I left my friends who weren't following Jesus. I thank God I left my home. I left family to serve God. And I've left so much. But all I can say, it's 100 times better having left than if I'd stayed. We sat down celebrating a birthday, 4 of us, on Friday night, on our breathe day. And I just was moved as I was thinking, what a family I've got. What amazing relatives I've got in the church as well. I'm blessed. But what an amazing church. We went through one after another, after another, after another, saying, I love them. They're amazing. We spent an afternoon with Tony and Christiana this week, and we were like, aren't they lovely? Aren't they amazing? We love you. It's much better to be with you. And there's a story in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, of Ruth and Naomi. And it starts out with Naomi was married to this guy. I think it was, I can't remember his name. Oh, you can read it later. Abimelech or something. And had 2 sons. Abimelech. And had 2 sons. And because of trouble in Israel, they left, actually, their homeland. They left their home. And they went to a foreign country. And her sons married foreign women, which, of course, was against the covenant of God. Because God's covenant for those who marry is with believers. That's where the blessing comes. Okay, so they married kind of people who were outside the faith. And God's a restorer, but don't go that way because it's pretty horrendous at times. And it doesn't always get restored because God's working with people's wills. You can't marry somebody and live with the consequences of that for the rest of your life and not be able to serve God. In a nutshell, there it is, guys. But two sons died, and her husband, Naomi's husband, died. Talk about a wipeout. There was so much loss and grief. And Naomi said to her 2 daughters-in-law, I'm going to go back to Israel. I'm going to go back to my home, to God's people. I've heard there's blessing there. There's always blessing in the house. There's always provision in the house. And Orpah, I think her name is, or Orpah, she says, I'll come. And then Naomi says, no, I don't want you to leave your family, your country. No, 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 you need to stay. I feel awful about you coming with me. And she says, brilliant, I'll see you. I'm going back to my family. But Ruth, she says, I can't go. She said, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. We're going to do life together in God. And I know that there is a Lord, there is a God. She'd come to know the Lord through Naomi. And she says, I know I've got to stick with God's people because I know my future is connected. My inheritance, my blessing is in the land where God's people are. And so she left her family. She left her culture. She left her friends. Imagine this. She'd grown up with everybody else around her, but she says, no, I'm going with God and his people. I'm going to live out my relational life with his people. Is this good? Because there are amazing promises. When she got there, she had provision of work. Isn't that good? Hello? That means prosperity. There's work when you're in the right place. Then there was the provision of a husband. She had a commitment to the Lord first. Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be. What's the promise, guys? The promise is put God first, his ways first, and it will be added. I mean, I'm looking around the room. We've got some marriages here because this has happened in reality. Back row, there's everywhere. There are marriages. I can see marriages all the way around because we have all joined together in kingdom life. Hello. There's a blessing relationally in amongst the people of God. God says it's not just about you and him. It's about you, him, and us, other believers. Romans 12, verse 5. Let's read this together. Romans 12, verse 5. Do you know, sometimes the greatest opposition to a message on the church and what God wants to build with us comes. There are less people in the church today than there have been for quite a long time. There's also, you know, you can feel as a preacher, you can sense some resistance to the word. But the word is the word. The word is the word is the word is the word and is exalted above all our thinking, mentality, religion, experience, what our mummy taught us, what our daddy taught us. It's the word that God wants to teach us with. And in Romans 12, verse 5, it says, well, let's just read verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members. In other words, I've got a nose, I've got eyes. You can understand clearly this morning, I've got a mouth. I've got legs, I've got hands. I am many members but one body in myself. So also, and these members do not have the same function. So my mouth doesn't do what my eyes does. And you can't do what I do, but I can't do what you do. It says here, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. I could say, actually, worship team this morning belong to me. You're my worship team. Because we're one body. The welcome team belong to me. This is my team. The body, here, every member, we are a team. We're a team. The church is team. Including those lovely babies that keep going. We're all team. We're together. One body in Christ. If I see anyone backing off church, I realize their relationship with God is struggling or going down. Because Jesus says, in the book of 1 John, it says, how can you say you love God and you don't love your brethren? And love doesn't mean from a distance. It means laying down your life, being with, being in association with, and relating to. And so I know there are warning signs when somebody doesn't come to the meetings, isn't part of what God's doing. And often they're deceived into thinking, well, I'm okay, I'm in a really good place with God. But biblically, you can't be in a good place with God and not be in the body. It's very important. As what's important is that not only that you hear this teaching, but you will teach others. That you will teach your children, parents, these ways. That we will teach the next generation and demonstrate that this is the way God calls us to live. And if you haven't lived in that way, come into the way. Because this is the way that God wants for his people. The devil's work is to divide. Can we have a look at this? It's to separate. The devil, one of the words there for devil means to throw apart. The devil loves to throw apart Christians. Just as he tried to throw apart Adam and Eve from God, Satan was the original sinner. And what was he out for? He was out for relationship with God because he knew if he broke that, he could break down human relationships. But the cross has restored everything and we can have the best in Christ. So he throws apart, he separates and he isolates people. Just think about, if you've been watching the programs on Africa and seeing some of the amazing photography currently on that. If you look at the animal kingdom shows us really clearly how the devil works. If you see a lion or a predator going after a deer or an antelope, what they actually do is they try and isolate the weakest or separate from the pack. Because if you can separate from the pack, that individual animal is extremely weak. And he comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil's plan is to separate people from the body, to kill them, to steal their inheritance, and to destroy their lives. Either in the temporary realm or in the eternal. Both ways. He's out to get us. But you know what? There is strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. Now you need to know that the devil is really working to separate marriages, to separate friendships, to separate people from faith groups, to separate people from being part of the body. He is actively working. Think Eden was not evil proof. The Garden of Eden, where before man sinned, Satan was there trying to divide. So we need to be awake to what the devil is doing, don't we? Yes, there is strength in numbers. If I was to say that this match is an individual, it's a big match because I need a big match to light my fire. I've got a lovely burner in my lounge. But anyway, that's a digression. So say this is an individual believer. We all go, yeah, I've got the victory in Christ. I'm strong in the Lord. I only need Jesus. Well, if you only need Jesus, why does Jesus say he's building his church? Why does he say each part does it share? That means somebody else has got something you need. There are other people, there are people in this room who carry something I need. We're all valuable. But if you think about this stick, you can break this with one hand. Individually, you can be broken easily. The devil can attack your life and break and actually trash you, because that's what he's out for, trashing you. Whether it's through addiction, compromise, running with the wrong crowd, or even just being on your own. But just imagine church. Lots of us in Christ. I try and break this, and I really am using all my strength. you can't break. You can't break us. You can't. This is our victory together. The early church were a conquering church because they met together. Don't leave the herd. Don't stop meeting together. We'll have pick up sticks later. Word of God says, don't stop meeting together. Because there's strength in numbers. There's an anointing when we come together, when we worship God. There's anointing on the ministry gifts for you. We have in God what you need. The local church is to provide what you need for victory. To win in life. To succeed in your relationships. To be a great husband and wife. To be the best friend possible. You can tell God's passionate, can't you? Because I am. And his heart is speaking through me this morning. It is his will that we are passionate about the church of Jesus Christ. And in Corinthians, there's a warning. If anyone destroys the temple of the Lord, which is the church, God says, I'll destroy them. So in other words, you're opening your life for God to destroy you if you come against the people of God. Not that there are any of those here. But we do have to watch that we don't get negative, critical, divisive in our conversations, and begin to kind of undermine. We need to be builders, not tearers down. Build, build, build. Jesus is building his church, so I want to please him and build the church of Jesus Christ. Acts 2:42, the early church, when the Spirit came, they met together. There were 3,000 of them. And God is into big churches. Can we say that's quite a big church? 3,000. And then fairly soon, after the guy got healed, there were 5,000. So that's quite a lot of people. Can you imagine belonging to a church of 3,000? Maybe in different locations from here. Doesn't have to be limited by building. It's limited by your faith. So God is into big churches, but he's also into small groups. Because they met together to hear the word. They met together in big meetings. The apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the word. And then they devoted themselves to fellowship, meeting together, being relational, getting round a table or in a living room and saying, how's your week? Sharing their joys, sharing their challenges, sharing their sadness. Adding to one another's prayer and faith that you will succeed this week at work, that anything going on in your life, I will be there to stand with you. Your battles are my battles. In a 3,000 crowd, you can't say, well, let's just have a relationship. But you can come down to small groups. Jesus wants small groups to build his church. Your faith group, being a member of your faith group, it's vital you're there. Absolutely the will of God for every believer. You are in a connected, real relationship. It also means if things are going wrong, you can have help. It means that you're not on your own. Not designed for life alone. Whether you're married or single, you're not. Everyone is designed for connections, small groups. Jesus actually had 12 disciples. He had multitudes following him. He had crowds. But then he had 12 and then 3 in particular critical times. He had 3 close friends. They were all there with him, following him. But Jesus focused on a smaller group. It's a biblical mandate. It's not a thing that a particular church does. We do the word. The word, the word, the word. He sent people out in twos. He said, go on. Go and prepare for me to come in. In other words, evangelism. He said, go in twos. Go in teams. Teams are important. Our teams, our faith projects, we're teaming up to win people. Yes, marriages should be teams. Teams to enable one another to win in God. Relationships that make the difference whether we succeed or fail. And the devil always says it's more attractive to not be in a place where you've got to sit with a bunch of people who are nothing like you. Because to be honest, I'm sure in the early church they went, you are this lot, but I don't know them. The point was, it was time to get to know the new people. And they were inclusive. They were always adding to their small groups. The small didn't say small, they multiplied. Our thinking must be renewed to be all inclusive, but also understanding we need close friendships to succeed in the Christian life. Isolation is an enemy to your life and to a growing church. And we have fun. We have character changes and challenges, do we not? How do you know that if you've been walking with people in a faith group and in the church for a long time, how much we've changed? Round of applause. Because if you're with people, there's a kind of, you're needing to learn grace, aren't you? You needed to learn, oh gosh, that, don't they go on? Have you ever been in a small group where somebody goes on? What's the Lord testing? Well, he first of all, hopefully going to get through to the person that goes on. But also, that there is a heart challenge towards you. And you understand that actually even just being there, you're there to be a blessing. And there to add your part, not take your part. Not take it, but add it. Each part does its share, not takes its share. And when everybody does its share, it's amazing the growth and the blessing of a faith group. Your faith group leaders would love, would just probably kiss you from morning till night if you came to add something and not just sit there like a stone. To build relationally rather than to take. What can I bring to my small group? What can I add to this time when we're talking about the word? Not just listen, but I can also give a part to building the church of Jesus Christ. So, let's look at the next slide, please. Relating to believers and making friends. Let's just look at a few points before we finish today. How do we relate to believers and make friends? God wants you to have friends in the church. Well, this comment I thought was brilliant. Friendship is like a bank account. You can't continue to withdraw unless you make some deposits. Friendship is like a bank account. Marriages are like a bank account. You can't withdraw unless you make some, you have some input. You share life. You add your part to build that relationship. I absolutely believe couples should plan on date nights. Have time together. Build relationally. I believe that marriages should be added to rather than just assumed that you're going to be married now till the day you go to glory. It's worth the investment of your time, your effort, your creativity to build. And actually, if we put that principle into our lives together, it's really important that you bring something and add something in the church. Each part does its share and builds relationally. So how do we make friends and relate to believers? Well, with grace and forgiveness. And with a mindset of you're a gift, not you're a problem. You know, if you see something, oh gosh, look at them. Just think, oh brilliant, here's a brother or a sister in Christ. This is my family. Let's celebrate life together. So, point one, how to relate to believers. Well, reach out. I've heard some people say, well, I just don't have friends. I'm not making friends. Well, often it's because you're not friendly. Reach out. Make an effort. Be friendly to the people around you. Be friendly in our public meetings. Don't just come in and sit in your own seat and say, I don't want to talk to anybody. Open up, sit with somebody. Your faith, prayer, praise will encourage somebody else. Reach out to people. Jesus reached out to us, didn't he? God sent his son into the world to reach out to us, to seek and save the lost. And we need to reach out to visitors and say, do you know what? We've been praying for you. It's fantastic to have you with us today. We need to be reaching out to everybody and saying, we can show you kindness such you've never had before because we've got God in our lives. Enjoy. There's a quote that I thought was fantastic. Keep company with a cheerful sort of a believer because there's no joy like the joy of a believer. Keep company with a cheerful sort. Are you a cheerful sort? Now, that doesn't mean all the time, because we need to be sensitive to those who are grieving and those who are in real challenge. So, you know, we're saying, well, you're not very cheerful. Cheerio. We need to stay with those friends who are in trouble. But I absolutely believe there is no better joy party than in the righteous's house, in the house of a believer. Because it's pure joy and it's Holy Spirit joy. It's not of the world. It doesn't mean we don't need wine to enjoy. We don't need pills to have a good time. We have a better time with God together than the world will ever experience drunk. But I also believe we need to cultivate fun. Life can be so serious sometimes. It's just getting up. I've got to go to work. There are all challenges. And God says, I want you to enjoy. Sometimes just smell the roses. Just enjoy the blessing of life. And don't get so intense. Have a laugh, for heaven's sake. Find yourself a little bit more funny than you are currently. And make people laugh in the right way, not by pulling them down with really destructive jokes or uncleanness, but with a purity that says, just little things that are funny. So put on your fridge, if you've got something, well, don't write it on with something that won't rub off. Fun, fun, fun. Let's enjoy our Christian life. Next one. Be faithful. Proverbs says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I believe, you know, when I first left everything to follow the Lord, God gave me, and has for many years now, such a family friend, a faith family friend in Joan. She still is. We have partnered together in the kingdom. And she prayed me in, I'm sure. I'm absolutely convinced I got saved because of her prayer. I'm convinced of it. But I began to follow the Lord and God connected me with different people, different relationships, with Pastor Colin. Somehow I was put into relationship with him and Caroline, discipled by them, part of their household. I had to learn what it meant to be a small group all the time. Think of it. A small group all the time with people you didn't choose to live with. That's family, isn't it? And then I made friends at college, and I made friends in the churches I worked at. And 'cause I'm quite a friendly person, and friends make friends. If you're friendly, you make friends. But I remember we met in when you were in this college at Lamplugh and working up there. And I remember we connected. God did something when we saw each other. It was a divine, what's this? And I just felt, I came to see her. I said, I believe one day we'll work together. She was in North Yorkshire. I was in Horsham. And I just believe we're going to work together. Anyway, God brought you down to work on the team in Horsham. And I began to kind of teach and train in the Bible college. And then God spoke to you and to me and to the leadership in Horsham that we should be traveling together. And we didn't know each other. We did after a while. But we didn't, did we? And my goodness me, she had to put up with me. When I said, right, you believe you're called to work with me, I said, I want you to go and pray. And I said, hear God for how long? Because I was hoping it was just 6 months. And she went to the laundry room, the only place where you could be quiet, at Roffey, to seek God, saying, please God, may it only be 3. And she came back, she said, I don't know, but I wanted to travel the world. But God's saying, I've got to be with you. It was a bit of a Naomi and Ruth situation. She said, I've got to come with you. Well, anyway, we started to live together, share a house together, share our finance together. It was a learning curve, because she's ever so different to me. I've learned grace. I'm really quick. Even if I clean the house, it's quick. I'm a speed merchant. So, like, if we have a meeting, I'll say, I want to do this needs to happen in the church. And she goes, oh, hang on, I can just see how that could be worked out. Can we go back to the first point? Let's just unpack that a bit. Because that's her gift. My gift is outline. Let's do this. This is what God's saying. She's right. Let's see how that can work. And sometimes the one with this gift gets frustrated with the, oh, let's look at all this. This is detail. I'm like, I'm not interested in detail. But God is. And the two are stronger. Together, we are a team. And then when God told me to come and plant the church, I'll tell you something funny. Pastor Andrea says, no, I'm not called to that. This is where our paths separate. I've never lived in the West Country, and I don't ever intend to. Anyway, Pastor Colin, my friend, took her for a walk. We were at a conference in Milan preaching, and I can remember him walking ahead. They were just ahead, and I was behind. And she'd had this vision of mountains, leaving one mountain to go to the other. And she assumed, like Caleb, she assumed that I wasn't part of the second mountain. That the first mountain was over. What a mountain to climb, every mountain. Anyway, that was a very Miranda moment. Anyway, moving on. Moving on. Then, Pastor Colin's walking ahead, and he's a deliberate man. He's very similar to me, but I do things quicker. So he's just steady, walking like an England cricketer about to bowl. So he's talking to her. So you've had a vision, have you? So she's going to plant the church. Where are you going? Well, I might go back to Nottingham. She's seeing freedom. She's seeing what she thinks is freedom. And he said, do you think that second mountain could mean a new mountain with her in the West Country? Because he said, there's no way the church will be built without two agreeing. There's no way a marriage can build. There's no way a church can build. The best thing you can give your church is agreement. It's your yes. Not your opinion. Your yes. And so she said, okay, now she believed she was going to get married one day and couldn't see how the heck that could happen with me. Because I know I'm called to singleness. Just Jesus was, Paul was. I know I'm called to be single. I had to deal with that a long time ago. But I'm not called to be single and tumbleweed relationally. I'm called to have healthy, strong, covenant friendships. So she came with me. She obeyed the Lord. Praise the Lord. You need to be thankful that she did. And I am thankful. So we moved in, and then began this whole kind of serving the Lord together here. And God added those who agreed, who come into unity with us, come into the vision with us, united in the purpose. God built a body. We are now a people. Not just two. We've become a people. We're a church, the church of Jesus Christ. And God added Monsieur Aspinall. And it's such a joy. My life has been strengthened by their marriage. Isn't that wonderful? But I believe if you seek the kingdom, you do what God wants, you stick with the people God calls you to stick with, even when it doesn't make sense. I believe in sticking, being faithful relationally. Proverbs also says, if you trust in an unfaithful man or person, someone who is not trustworthy, doesn't show up, is only here for what they want. It's like depending on a lame foot or like a rotten tooth. What do you do with a rotten tooth? Either get it out or get it treated. But we need to treat unfaithfulness as a problem. In marriage and in the church, to God, unfaithfulness is a problem. And it destroys relationships. It destroys friendships. This is good, isn't it? I'm nearly there. Be faithful. Be consistent. Be like the metronome. I serve God. I'm with the people. When they come together, I'm there. I don't have another plan but God's plan. I don't think of how many weekends can I get away with not being with the people of God. Add your bit and we'll go further, guys. We need you. We need every member of the body. We actually will not succeed without you. You understand that? There's an importance of us being us together. Be patient in your friendships. Houses aren't built in a day. Brick by brick, marriages aren't built in a day. Marriages need a constant input and relational strength. It's the same with the church. We are building as He built us. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. The devil won't divide us. There won't be loneliness in our ranks. Because people will reach out, not reach in. They will enjoy, not be miserable together. They will be faithful, consistent, always there. They will be patient with one another, saying, hey, whatever, we'll keep going. Be interested if you want good friends. Don't just require people to be interested about you. How are you? What's going on? Give into that relationship. And take risks. You had to take a risk with me. I took a risk with her. She said yes and amen really quickly. And do you know, in some ways, we've all had to take risks. You've had to take a risk with me. Haven't you? And trust is earned. I'm still here, doing the best I can, serving the Lord and serving you. I haven't quit. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to suddenly find a more attractive church to go to. May you not find a more attractive one, but just bless the family you're called to be with. It's not that there aren't better churches out there. I don't know what that means, biblically. But let's work at what we've got. Let's build, let's build, let's build, let's build. We need you. And then pray for all the saints. Prayer, actually, and faith enable great relationships in the church. My final point is this one. Choose your close friends wisely. The Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. So in other words, if you are more friendly with people in the world, you will be corrupted. It will change you for the worse. It will, if you think about a lift or an elevator, it'll make you go down. You'll lose your call, you'll lose your peace, you'll lose your destiny just by walking with the wrong people. Your close friends, if they are controlling people. Now, I've experienced controlling relationships. Has anybody in this room? And all you want to do is run. And it's like being in a lift where somebody kind of closes the door, those metal bars, and the lift closes and says, "We're staying in here, it's just you and me." Have you ever felt that? I can't breathe. Well, God is not into controlling relationships. Love releases. Love gives. It's the nature of God's love is to give, not to control. Be a releasing friend. Say, yes, if God's saying it, you crack on. I'm going to support you all the way. Yeah? And eventually, actually, primarily, choose friends that will lift you, elevate you, take you further in God. Don't be someone who just sits and says, "I want life my way." Say, "I want somebody to challenge me. I want to be in a relationship where somebody is moving with God. Because I want to go where you're going. I want to go with the people of God. I don't just want to sit in a holding tank. We are seeking first the kingdom. We're going into all the world. We are going to make disciples. But God first must give us this mentality of church. Because when people are saved, they must come into this family. A friendly, God-centered, God-relationship family. Praise God. Choose your friends wisely. Pray about it, just as Jesus did. And don't force issues. Don't control people. Don't tell people what you want from them. Give. Sow. And then if it's right, it'll come back. There's a freedom relationally. And finally, as you stand, have faith. Have faith that God is able to make our relationships better and better. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823-664-186 or overseas visitors 0044-1823-664-186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.